Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This week, really cool band. It's called Scum of the Earth. It is Riggs, Mike Riggs from Rob Zombie's band that went on and continued and did some very zombie-esque music. Really cool band called Scum of the Earth. If you're a fan, you could have heard it 5 days ago, commercial free. Really, all we care about is spreading the love. Get the word out there about the SDR Show. We do it every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Or use the code SDR at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Why you should do it now is because in about a week and a half, 2 weeks from now, prices go up. And then those prices, if they go up again, your membership goes up again. But if you subscribe now, you're locked in at that price for fucking life. There are some people on this network that first started with this network, they pay $2.50. And as long as they keep their subscription active, their price never goes up. So you want to get in now, use the code SDR, and your price will never go up, but that's going to change in September. Here it is right now, Scum of the Earth on the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's beat, I beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art. You need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, STD-free, James Madden. How are you, buddy?
But what a segue right there. No one knows what we're talking about off. Yeah, okay. I might have had fun in Vermont. What do you want from me? I'm still not off the clock. But look, I'm here. I'm excited to talk to my dude here. Your voice is shot.
My voice is shot.
Gangster in 91.
We'll bring him on right off the. I want to bring him in on that quick conversation. I'm front the lead singer, guitarist of Scum of the Earth, formerly from Prong, formerly from Rob Zombie. It is Mike Riggs. How are you, buddy? Let me ask you this. Just you know, we're just some dudes here shooting the shit, right? James, yep. James raw dogged a few days ago, right? I know you have a boy that I think is like in his late 20s. He's already, I think he's going to medical school. Good for you, right? At this point in your life, when you have sex, do you ever have sex without a condom with someone that you don't know? Am I the only idiot that always wears a condom? I don't understand it. Every comedian I know never fucking wears a condom.
I don't know. I've had the same girlfriend for over 13 years.
Oh, all right. Well,
at least not wrapping it up now, Ralph. Can I just say, you're the host of Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, and you're like, yo, guys, you should put on 7 Jimmy hats, and you should have some chamomile tea. What the fuck is going on? Do we need to be for this show?
Believe me, I get a lot of shit for that, James. People don't like that I don't do any drugs, and I barely, I'm such a like a safety guy. Can't help it. What are you going to do?
And then the show, you're going to be promoting eating goddamn celery and essential oiled apples, whatever the shit. It was an accident. She just was like, hey, you don't need this. And I'm like, oh.
By the way, if a girl ever told me you don't need this. Anyway, let's get back on this. So,
gorgeous.
By the way, let me explain how I first heard about Scum of the Earth. We're going to go back. Fuck, I think it's like 20 years ago. 2003, whatever that is. 19 years ago? Is that about right? I think
so. Yeah.
So I was running a radio show called The Tour Bus on all over the country. We were doing it live from WDHA at that time in New Jersey. And you put out a fucking cover of We Will Rock You called Porn Star Champion that we just would play all the fucking time. And I loved it so much. Then I found, this was the guy that was in Rob Zombie's band and blah, blah, blah. And so that was my induction into Scum of the Earth. And then also... Boy, your music was made for strip clubs. So was Rob Zombie's music. And I was a strip club DJ for a long time. So that was my induction into the world of Scum of the Earth. But what bothers me is there's some things that I've always believed about you that now I'm thinking after doing research is not true. And I'd like to know off the top, are these things bullshit or true? Okay. Let's start with the name. I was told even 20 years ago, whatever that is again, 19 years ago, it was because you're a WKRP fan, and that was from an episode of WKRP
there was a band called Scum of the Earth, subsequently finding out that that is not true. Is that not true at all?
No, I hear that a lot from, I used to hear it a lot in the beginning. Now I don't think those people are around anymore.
That's what I remember when we first, I mean, going back 17 years ago, 18, whatever the fuck it is, that's what I was told. And now that's, where did it come from? Just a nickname?
Crap.
Oh, boy.
Sorry. Trying to hold my phone sideways. No, I just came from, you know, I grew up in a small town in Arkansas. You know, it was about 3,000 people in that town. And, you know, they just refer to me as that. You know, it was a little small town of dirty, poor kids. And for some reason, I guess I was the dirtiest, poorest kid.
And how many years after did you find out that it was a band name on WKRP? Like years after or not that long after? You know what I mean? Like once you decided to call the band that you found out about the fake myth of the WKRP for you guys.
Yeah, when the album came out, there was some people telling me about it. I didn't know about it until then.
Oh, that's
like funny. I said, it was like older people, you know, get probably a generation ahead of me, maybe.
I am. And I'm an old man. I get it. Thanks.
Yeah, he's and he wears condoms. Yeah.
And then also, let's go to number two that I heard was not true. Okay. Yeah. I now think it's not true. I know that you at one point, obviously you were in Rob Zombie's band. You did two albums with him and a couple of those remix albums, whatever. But I was always told that you kind of ran into him at a WWE event. Next thing you know, you guys are working on an album together. Subsequently researching, you find out, no, you were managed by the same people as Zombie and Pantera, and you kind of were just put together. So is that not true also?
They might all be true, just like a little bit here, a little bit there.
So you did bump into him at a wrestling thing.
Yeah, and I think at a monster truck rally and
And then at some point eventually you had James.
Based on that rumor is the reason I wore a wrestling shirt. Just out of love to you. I wore a Danhausen shirt, which is, you know, he's kind of the Rob Zombie of wrestling now. I wanted to put all that shit together for you, but if it would have been a monster truck, I got Gravedigger shirts. I could have wore a Gravedigger shirt for you. I mean, I don't want to let you down.
Why don't you just wear a shirt that says, I am white trash, James? I mean, baby, let's just do that.
None of these teeth are real. Let's go. Stop the illusion. Just who I is. I'm from Vegas. 702, dog.
And you're touring through the end of October. Is that right? Is that right now? What's the plan?
They're working on it. It's in the very beginning stages. Just do a small run, like maybe 2 weeks. But I don't know. The closer it gets to the midterms, the more hyped up Death and Destruction becomes. So
I mean that works perfectly with the music, so if anything you think that it would work in your favor.
It could, yeah. Hopefully.
So the single is called Ziggurats of Mesopotamia. I'm not going to lie, I googled both words because I heard of Mesopotamia, but Jesus. Ziggurats are like a structure, and somehow this is all tied to ancient alien civilizations. Is that right?
Yes.
And you're someone that's been forwardly thinking about this for years. In fact, a lot of these lyrics are from years ago.
Yeah, like 30 years ago.
And then finally decided it's time to put it to music?
Yeah, well, I did it back in, I don't know, 91, 92, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And as more serious about it back then, like, trying to explain too much. So I still have all these lyrics around and I just kind of mad libbed them together in, you know, into something a little more campy that, I don't know, just sounded cooler instead of trying to be, you know, too serious about it.
Mm. So are you a big advocate in the fact that we used to be inhabited or visited by ancient aliens? Is that part of your belief structure or is that just great for the music?
A little both. I don't know. I'm open to whatever.
Fair enough.
Ralph, I like when you ask questions like that because you kind of remind me of like mid-90s Larry King. So are you an advocate of aliens abducting everyone's great-grandmother? Well,
with my voice, I think I sound like it a little bit too.
So give me the answer. Did you fuck her or not? Come on.
With a condom or without, James? With a condom or without.
America needs to know.
Yeah. And also, by the way, which... correct me if I'm wrong here, because you look into things and you never know. But this single and the last single, you were working on with a band called Gang of Souls. and then you both release the songs, but with different lyrics. Is that right?
It's the same lyrics and the music.
Different music.
Different. Yeah.
How did you just like agree to disagree and go in different directions?
No, the Gang of Souls, they asked me if I would help them with some songs and sent me over a lot of riffs, like just tons of riffs. And I went through them and kind of strung them together into a song. And I was thinking about lyrics and I just stumbled across all those Ancient Alien lyrics I had and trying them out. And I thought it turned out pretty cool. And, you know, I let them release it first. And then I just kind of went in and redid it and turned it into Scum of the Earth songs and changed the titles of them.
But the lyrics are the same.
But the lyrics are the same. Yes.
That's pretty wild. I don't know if that's ever happened before, but it's kind of cool. I like that. Do you like their versions?
Yeah. They're obviously the Gang of Souls versions are just bass, drums, guitar, vocals. You know, it's more like rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And then the Scum of the Earth version has all the programming and like more industrial style.
Right. Which I'm a big fan of. So now a couple other things here. This is what I know you said we have a generational gap, but I think we're roughly the same age. I'm 52. How old are you?
51.
Okay.
So I just gap, guys. Holy shit. How are you guys even going to get through this together?
Also, by the way, it hurts my feelings. Now. He looked at me and goes, wow, you're a lot older than me.
A lot older.
That really fucking hurts my feelings.
Well, earlier I was referring to people telling me about the WKRP band.
Right. And I watched that when I was...
Back then, how old was I? I was like 33 or something. And they were in their 50s. And they...
Okay.
So, you know, 20 years ago. No.
Those people are dead, sir. We don't have to worry about them anymore. They're dead souls. They're gone.
You know
what it is also that... Because I did radio for so fucking long. I think all radio people... were obsessed with WKRP growing up. So I used to watch those religiously. So maybe that's why. And also, thank you for looking at me and just saying, well, he's definitely at least a decade older than me, for God's sakes.
I
mean, look at this.
No, I never said that. Me and you, we're just getting started.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think that. I'd like to. So here's what I find fascinating. You grew up with your grandparents, and you find a guitar somewhere there. No idea how to play. No one knows how to play. You just kind of say, let me figure this out, and correct me if I'm wrong. This is crazy if this is true also, that you didn't even understand how to make it sound right until you saw Dolly Parton playing guitar on television.
Excellent.
And you then just kind of listened to it and then figured out how to tune a guitar.
Kind of, yeah. I saw Dolly Parton on the Johnny Carson show, and she was playing an acoustic guitar and has, you know, the really long fingernails. And she was playing with one finger.
Right.
Sorry, so she had the one finger and just moving it up and down the neck. And I'm like, how the hell do you do that? And I just messed with the tuning until you could make a chord with one finger. And then I still tune like that to this day.
That's wild. So you have Dolly Parton to thank in a lot of ways. What song was she playing? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember that. But it's funny, in Branson, Missouri, my tattoo shop is right next to her restaurant. That's kind of like a medieval times, but a country version of medieval times.
Wait, oh, really?
A country? Yeah. So what does that mean? Instead of like King Arthur fighting like another knight, is it someone dressed as Hank Williams taking on like an evil record label guy?
I've never been over there, but it's versus the South.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The North. Did you say the North versus the South?
Yes.
The Civil War?
Yeah, I mean, don't quote me on that, but I heard people talking about it, and I think that's what it is.
I get some chicken legs, and, you know, hopefully we get this one right. I mean, what's going on, everybody?
I also like that the woman inspired him to learn how to tune guitar correctly. Their stores are next to each other, but he won't walk over and see what it's all about.
It's huge, man. It's a huge place. Like, it's a horse show.
Dolly Parton Stampede, Shannon is telling me. That's cool.
Horse stunts
and musical productions. Wow, that sounds fun.
Can we go do a live show, Ralph? I mean, what are we doing here? Let's just go down and we'll get tattooed.
Yeah, and just get tattoos and then go next door and watch a horse show.
I'm gonna get you a tattoo on me of a condom right on your fucking throat. Everyone knows not even to try to rip the son of a bitch off.
So that happened. That happened when you were a kid. You were like 8 when you first started figuring out guitar. When was that Dolly Parton episode? Soon after?
Yeah, not long after that. I was probably, I can't remember. It's so long ago.
Yeah, well, hey,
I already kind of knew how to play guitar by then. So it was.
Oh, so you kind of knew how to play, but that was a different way to tune. I get it now. Okay, yes. That makes sense. Okay, so now this is where it gets weird. You quit school at 15. Somehow you're working at a boat factory, which I don't even know. Was where was that by those? And where in the country was that?
That was in Arkansas, in Mountain Home, Arkansas.
And then somehow you end up in Austin, Texas. And that's how you joined another band that I used to dig called Screw. Somehow you just walked in somewhere and met the guys. How did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, I worked at that boat factory for about 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I still lived with my grandparents. So I was like 16 years old, somewhere around there. And then I worked there for a whole year, saved up all that money, and then just took off from Mountain Home and ended up in Austin, Texas, and ran into Danny Lohner. And Danny Lohner was in the band Screw, but he was also in the band Anchor Watt. And Anchor Watt was just transitioning over to the band Screw, the industrial band. And that was kind of what I was into. And
am I right that Danny was in Nine Inch Nails, or am I wrong? Is that right?
Yeah. He was in Nine Inch Nails for quite a while.
Yeah, look at that. Look at me fucking pulling that name out of my ass.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Doing so good.
Right? And then you're in Screw for years and really not making any money. You're just kind of there, a kid playing guitar in Screw, and then somehow transition to, which a dude that's been on this show that I love is Tommy Victor. You joined Prong, and that's when you started getting more your recognition for your guitar playing. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, I learned a lot from Tommy Victor on how to play guitar. And, you know, we toured with Prong in Europe with Screw, and Tommy was always like, man, you got three guitar players. It sounds so heavy, you know? And so I just talked to him for a long time, you know, kept in contact. And then, you know, maybe I bugged him about it. I don't know, but I got in the band, and, you know, he'd always joke about it in interviews where they're asking, why'd you get a second guitar player after 10 years? And he would say, oh, so I can concentrate more on my drinking. This is always funny. And, you know, I learned a lot about playing guitar from him. He's really, really good. That doesn't get the credit that he deserves, I don't think. A lot of people.
Also, that band doesn't get the credit that they deserve. They were in studio. No. I mentioned you and a few other people in his band that had all gone on to other bands. Like you went to Zombie and whatever. And I said, do you think that they just use you as a gateway to much? Because like five or six different people went on to way bigger bands after joining Prong. And he just said, yeah, maybe he just has a very good eye for talent. And that's probably what it is.
Yeah. Could be.
So you're on tour. And the same way that you're on tour with Screw and you meet Prong, you're on tour with Prong, and then you tour Zombie. And is that how that came about?
Yeah. I mean, with Prong, you know, I really liked being in Prong. I didn't contribute to any of the riffs or music or anything. And then Prong got dropped off the label during that Rude Awakening album. Mm-hmm. And then everything kind of went into chaos for a minute. And so Prong just kind of ceased existing for quite a while there. And it was during that time that I went over and was recording that stuff with Rob. And I believe it was Danny Lohner and Charlie Clouser, who also from Nine Inch Nails, that recommended, oh, you know, you should call Riggs and have him come over and, you know.
And here's what's cool, by the way, that point, like, to my knowledge, Rob was just doing like a side project. White Zombie wasn't going to be over. He's like, hey, I'm just going to do this. And it was like a small tour, but then fucking, you know, it blows up and they change it to larger venues. And like, you guys did it in like a living room. It wasn't like this was like a big production plan for this Rob Zombie record, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I was there for about 4 months recording guitar in Scott Humphrey's living room. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was, yeah, I don't remember it was going to be a replacement for White Zombie. And we were just going to go on tour in like, you know, clubs, bars and stuff.
Right.
And then that's Dragula got released and just blew up, you know. And at that time, you probably remember since you're in radio that, you know, the biggest, you know, I don't know, the style of music or whatever that was popular at that time was like rap and rap metal. So it's like Korn, Limp Bizkit,
new metal.
Yeah.
And then we had, you know, these weird songs that most people weren't digging at the time. They're like, ah, you know, whatever. And just thought they'd go back to White Zombie. And then it took off somehow. And then even on tour, you know, we only played a couple songs off Hellbilly Deluxe and the rest of them were White Zombie songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like people in the crowd were like, you know, not that into the White Zombie songs. And they were into like the couple songs off Hellbilly Deluxe. And Rob's like, man, this is a totally different crowd than was showing up for
right.
White Zombie. So then every sound check, we'd practice more of the Hellbilly Deluxe songs and slowly filter out the White Zombie songs.
It's so fucking cool to watch that happen organically while yeah. you're on tour. That is fucking cool. Cause I remember, as again, I said, I was a strip club DJ. I was driving to the strip club and the local rock station here at the time was K-Rock. They played it, Dragula. And I was about to pull into the parking lot to start my shift. I drove out of the parking lot and 2 miles up the road to go get the CD so I could play it that night at the strip club. That's how I was like, oh, this has to get played tonight. It's so fucking yeah. cool.
I was crazy because it was, yeah, that was happening while we were still recording the album. So when Dragula was on the radio, we weren't even done with the songs yet.
Wow.
That's great.
And then, you know, I was hanging out with Filter. They were recording an album there in LA and they were talking about, man, that song, you know, the song's on the radio, you know, all day long. I'm like, really? I don't know. Cause we're in the studio. We don't even listen to the radio. And then, yeah, it was weird. It just took off and it didn't really have that much put into it by the label or anybody. Everybody right. kept thinking he's going to go back to White Zombie and just kind of let it be. And then it just took off.
And then he never did. James, you look like you're about to die to ask a question. Go.
This is something I've always wondered. So you join Rob, you go on the road, you play some of their songs, all this. Rob gets arguably bigger solo with you guys. Do you ever bump in to like White Zombie members? Like, is that ever weird? Like you're at a bookstore, you're just trying to take an afternoon off in fucking Philadelphia and you're in the botany section or whatever. You seem like a very cultured guy. And then there's Sean Yasalt or Jay just hanging out there, noodling through. Do you ever bump into these people? Is it awkward? What happens when you kind of replace a band?
No, I bumped into Ivan a lot, the drummer. Yeah. And yeah, we're just all friends, you know, even I never met Sean, but Jay, you know, I was in LA doing rehearsals and he went over there and was taking his stuff out of the White Zombie storage locker.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, and there was still some amps and stuff in there. And he's like, oh, you can just have them. And he's like, this is the amp I recorded, you know, the Astro Creep album with. And I'm like, really?
No way. Yeah. So it's not like an ex coming and picking up like, all right, here, I'll get my panties. Have fun with them. Like, it's not that?
No, everybody was cool. Right. But I mean, I never met her, but Jay, Ivan, and then Tempesta obviously was playing drums. And so, yeah.
Hey there. Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about one of our longtime sponsors, which is Yo Kratom. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. So if you're into Kratom, Yo Kratom is the only place where you can get a full kilo for just $60. High quality curated Kratom direct to you at YoKratom.com. Has all your favorite Kratom strains, amazing customer service, and you will not find better prices anywhere. So if you're over the age of 21 and you're into Kratom, go to YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo and the official sponsor of the SDR show. All right, let's get back into it.
So now you do two records and the remix records and whatnot with Rob. Then Rob decides to be a big time director and go to be Hollywood. And that's when Scum of the Earth was born. Fair enough to say.
Yeah.
Was there a long period of time where you're like, well, what the fuck now? I heard at one point that once it was announced that there was no more Rob Zombie touring, a bunch of other bands hit you up to join them. But you said, yeah, surprisingly, they were like pop bands. You remember any of the bands that were like, why the fuck are you asking me to join your band?
Yeah, I remember I got a phone call from somebody about Evanescence. Like they were in Australia and the guitar player quit or something. You know, I got a phone call from the drum tech for Guns N' Roses saying that that Robin from Nine Inch Nails, the guitar player from Nine Inch Nails, like left quit or something right before the tour, and they was asking if I could come out there, and I'm like, no. And there's all kinds of things. At one point, I think Marilyn Manson, somebody got in contact with me, like, never anybody from the band itself. It was always a manager, a travel agent, you know, a tech, somebody trying to get me to come out. And I just, I don't know.
You I like how chill you said no to Guns N' Roses. Hey, they asked me to join one of the biggest bands of all time. I was like, nah.
Well, also, I guess it'd be different if like this
style. I didn't think I could do it. I'm like, I don't think I, you know.
You should have showed up and showed them the Dolly Parton one string tuning. They would have booked you right away.
I can't play Sweet Child of Mine with that one Dolly Parton chord. So.
Yeah, but just throw everyone on their tail and play goddamn Jolene. Just fuck up everyone behind.
So at some point now, you're being courted by other potential bands, but you say, fuck this. I want to do something on my own. But my question would be, now all of a sudden, you're not the guitarist in the background anymore. You are front and center singing, the front guy and guitarist. Was that a discussion you had with yourself internally for a while, or is it something you always wanted to do?
No, I never wanted to do it. And when I was younger, I could always play guitar and sing. So just at the same time, and that's what stuck me to that. Mm-hmm. You know, people are like, oh, you can do it. So you just do it. You know, we never sit around and go, oh, are you any good at it? It's just like, you can do it. So fuck it. You might as well. Do it.
Might as well do it.
And you know, I never wanted to do it. And you know, if it was up to me, I would have stayed in Prong for my whole life. You know, like I never meant to go from band to band to band. I always wanted to be in like one band forever and just know you have that, you know, foundation and that, you know, you can count on not gonna end up homeless and always be able to make a few bucks.
And is that why you're not, because I know Zombie still does shows. I don't know if you didn't end on bad terms, but was it the infrequency of it as to why you're no longer in with him?
I don't know. I mean, I remember, you know, I don't remember it that clearly, but he played a show like some benefit concert and John Five came out and played guitar and he just thought it sounded really good. And then I think that's what did it, like, he's better.
I was thinking, like, you know, I talked about that cover that you did years ago of We Will Rock You. You did a cool cover years ago of the Munsters. Maybe he'll throw that in the new movie. Why
I was
not,
about to say, right? Give the dude a part for Christ's sakes in the Munsters. It'd be great.
He wrote a great, like, has clips of the old show and shit. Like it's a reworking of the theme song. Talk about a perfect thing to put in the fucking movie. He should do it. I don't fucking should do it. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, so now one of the other things you're always known for, which this just seems bizarre. I mean, I remember you had the guitar that was see-through that would fill up with blood. Very cool.
Dope.
But what I think is hilarious is reading that there were other things you wanted to try that never really flew, like maggots and raw meat and other things you wanted to fill the guitar with, but either it would stink up the fucking... backstage area, or it just would short out the guitar. Like, is that how you settled on blood?
Yeah. Because first I was just gonna make the hollow guitar and just fill it with something where it's just in there forever. And yeah, I had the idea of just putting, you know, rotten meat in there and then sealing the front of it, you know, and just let there be a bunch of bugs and maggots and stuff crawling around in it. And Rob is the one that's like, man, I don't know about that. That's just so bad. And I was like, well, all right. So I went down to this place called Necromance, I believe is the name of it, in Hollywood, that sells bones and weird stuff. Mm-hmm. And I got an albino snake in a jar, you know, a dead one, and took it up to Fernandez. And I was like, yeah, you can put a hook to its mouth, a hook to its tail, and, you know, wiggle it all through the guitar and then fill it up with formaldehyde. And then it'll just be in there sloshing around, look like it's moving around. And nobody wanted to touch it. So I'm like, ended up with, you know, I don't even know what happened to that snake in the jar. And then, you know, just went through all these things. And then, you know, putting the formaldehyde in there, that was probably what led it to the blood. Because then we had to figure out a way to seal it and not have any water, any formaldehyde leak out or leak into the electronics.
Right.
Then it just kind of progressed to fill it with blood and drill a hole in the top of it, put a cork in it. And then when you want to get the blood out, just pour it, you know, hold it upside down.
You have to put like disinfectant in and shake up the guitar when you want to in between gigs. Did you have to do that or no?
Yeah. Usually it was vodka or Everclear, something like that.
Okay.
And then also James, he has, which is pretty cool looking, a guitar made out of actual pig skin that an Amish leather guy made and actually were able to tattoo on it, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, it's got a couple tattoos on it. And it was hanging up at the tattoo shop and somebody tattooed fuck you on it. Like right when you look down, you can see it on there. I was like, oh, nice.
Wow. I would have done the opposite. I mean, you're a lot more of a tougher real man than me. I wouldn't have put blood in the clear guitar. I would have put almond milk. And then I just would have splashed the audience when it looked like they needed more nutrients. Because I'm one of those guys.
They would think it was jizz if you let it sit long enough that it curdled.
And then they go get STD tests and they'd be fucking, they'd feel my pain. One day you'll ache like I ate, Courtney Love.
Full circle. Right there.
Bop, that's
and,
a circle.
And you know, people would always throw stuff at us. We're playing a lot of, you know, demo CDs back then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Hit in the face with a, you know, demo CD.
That's so great. Often.
And so I had the idea for a guitar that had a, you know, those toys that you hit the top of the plunger, like an accordion plunger, and it goes down and blows a lot of air out of it and shoots a lot of it. I tried to have Fernandez build one of those into the guitar so I could put stuff in there and hit people, shoot people with the, you know, put a fucking metal ball bearing in there and, you know, to get them back for, you know, hit me with Zippo lighters. And
I'm sure CDs. There's a way you could do that with a, like a air gun or something to strap to the back of it. There's got to be a way to do that.
Yeah.
Let's fucking assault people.
They just didn't want to. You know, nowadays people are too uptight for such antics. But,
such
you know.
Shenanigans?
I was about to say shenanigans, Ralph.
Yeah.
Shenanigans.
So, I know that your reasoning for doing it is different than, but I mean, you're embracing it. So you have just been releasing singles, no more albums, which I just realize as two men of a certain age, it is just is what it is right now. There is no reason to record an album. Where are they even going to buy an album, release singles, and then maybe release a special edition, limited edition? You know, you could pee blood in it and sell it as a limited edition thing or something. But that's what you do now. You're doing singles, right?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like everybody I talk to, the more people I talk to, that people would rather, they prefer an album. But then we're all forced out of it because, you know, you get a new car, you get a new computer, you get anything that used to have CD players in them don't have CD players or CD-ROMs. And then they just stop selling at the store and they like have forced everybody into streaming and people seem to be pretty pissed about it still after all these years.
Right. But I mean, it is what it is. We're, you know, it just, it's not going to change. I've read now that there are certain car manufacturers that are not even putting radios in cars anymore. They're just putting a jack for your phone. Because nobody turns on the fucking radio. So it is what it is. So you got to, I give you kudos for embracing that and just releasing singles.
Yeah. In the beginning, I thought people would like that better because you get a song and a video every time instead of a whole album with a couple of videos.
Right.
And so it's just, I don't know, it seemed like a cool thing at the time. And I don't know, maybe it's starting to catch on.
I mean, maybe we'll go full circle, but speaking of videos, I like that the animated video for Ziggurats was, and this, I give you credit on this, was just a fan, I think, that created the video, and you just like, yeah, that's cool, we'll just use that, basically.
Yeah, it was this guy, Wolfgang, down in South America, and he got in contact with me through social media and showed me some videos that he did, and they were, you know, really good. And I was like, yeah, man, you know, let's do it. And he asked for the lyrics. So I sent him the lyrics for Ziggurats. And then he came up with all that on his own. I didn't have any input. And I saw it and I was like, yeah, it's cool, man. I didn't even realize that was me in the video until recently. He sent me a little artwork of the dude in the video. And it says Riggs above it. I'm like, oh, shit, that was me in the video.
That's pretty cool. So now... Sorry, we touched on this at the top of the interview. you have actually a 27-year-old son who is in medical school, right? And part of what has happened in your life for the past, I don't know how many years, you started living local where you are. You have the tattoo shop in Branson, right? Is that where it is? I think you live, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And you're there. You have a son. You're taking care of your grandparents, I think, for a while. I don't know if they're still with us, so I don't want to touch on a subject. But
that's not good. No,
the thing that I really, first of all, kudos on doing that and basically focusing on, you know, your son and shit like that. And now he's in medical school. So, you know, the old idea, I say, for me, I don't have any kids, but the only reason why I have kids is so that you take care of them and then they take care of you. And it's full cycle. And if he's in medical school, good chances are when you're older, my age, you know, the old age that I am, he'll be able to take care of you. But what I like is that you brought him out on tour when he was a kid. He was one and he was on tour with Prom.
Yep.
Dope. Did you fear or encourage or want him to be in that rock and roll world, or he never had a feel for it, or whatever happened happened?
Yeah, no, I never suggested anything. He just kind of went that way on his own. And I was glad, because being in the music business is, you're like one day away from the corner with a cardboard sign. So it's good to have, you know, some stable income.
Right. Exactly. So and now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, but I said, yeah, back in 2012, you know, that's whenever I kind of stopped doing the full on band and just doing songs at a time to let him finish high school and then get him into college. And then just started kind of like local businesses, you know, the tattoo shop, and started doing like the nightly rentals are really popular here. And, you know, I got some of those going and, yeah.
Right. And you started working on a partnership with Dolly Parton Stampede, get a tattoo, get in for free. Something
like that. We got to go down there. We got to. Sir, first round's on me. I mean, let's do that. Let's shit. Yeah, we have to. Fun. Or almond milk, whatever you want. Or blood or maggot.
Or formaldehyde snake. Why not? Yes. Or maggot ridden meat.
It smells good. I think they have the Cornish game hens over there. You can smell them when we're standing out front of the shop.
That's cool. I would try it, man. That sounds fun. Why not?
Yeah, let's maybe do that while we watch the North versus the South.
Yeah, why not?
Like I said, don't quote me on that, but I've heard people talking about it. And yeah,
I mean, unbelievable. God, I love America, huh? I'm the best.
I mean, the Civil War reenactments around here, you know, people do that, I think, still every year. Yeah,
it's pretty wild.
Kind of like that. And they might have taken it out of the show because it used to be called Dixie Stampede, and then it turned into Dolly Parton's horse show or something. I don't know what it's called now.
I always wonder when they do the reenactments, if they do it in the South, do people who put them on sometimes just change the ending?
I'm sure they do.
Do they just do like a wrestling thing? Like, hey, that doesn't work for me, brother. The South goes over this time. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. That's not historical or, you know, right. Nah, also, man, we're going to do it this time.
Dolly Parton's horse show also sounds like a great porno.
Jesus, yeah, Ralph. Right. She's an American treasure. Jesus Christ. There you go again.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But you know, it's funny because you realize you were in Screw. That's how you met Prong. You're in Prong. That's how you get through with Zombie, because you're on tour with each other. I know also you were in on stage many, many times with Ozzy, you know, on the same tour, so to speak, you know. And a thing that you talked about that I miss this so much because it just doesn't exist anymore. You would wait to see when a band was going out on tour. Let's say it was Ozzy or the Stones or whoever at the time. The band they brought out on tour with them, it was like them endorsing that band. And you're like, oh, fuck, I want to go see who that is that they like. And that just doesn't exist anymore. That concept doesn't exist anymore. The concept of reading liner notes doesn't exist anymore. You know, those elements of what makes music fans don't exist anymore. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, now it's all politics. You know, they get paid money for taking bands out on tour. And yeah. I mean, that's how I found out about a lot of bands, from the liner notes and tours, but mainly the liner notes, reading, like, I think it was Metallica's Ride the Lightning, and they had a bunch of thanks for over in the on a tour in Europe and thanked a bunch of bands. And I was like, oh, man, I'd, you know, check these guys out.
Right. I also think that's why music is not as important of a thing to a younger generation as it is to the old dudes, because you would sit there and read liner notes and, like, you know, the stories of, like, that Van Halen record where there was a phone number in the artwork on the chalkboard, and it was getting called so much that they had to, like, reissue it with that faded out because people were calling it too much. Like, that kind of shit doesn't happen anymore.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's a famous old story from, I forget which album. I think it was in maybe the Hot for Teacher, like, single or something. I don't remember.
Damn, I love
it. I mean, it's weird because, yeah, when we were kids, there wasn't anything to do, you know, play in the dirt and listen to some music.
Three channels.
And now it still seems like there's not that much to do. People sit on their phones doing nothing. Doesn't seem very fun. And don't listen to music.
If you're on your phone and you're watching Dolly Parton's Horse Show, the porno, you'll be having fun.
Streaming exclusively on RedTube, everybody.
Exclusively on my phone.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask the first before we wrap this up, but I did have to ask this. As a man who's been on tour with Ozzy a few times, do you have any moments that you think of, like a holy shit moment with Ozzy Osbourne?
Probably.
Oh, good. This you got to. Come on. If you could tie him into Dolly Parton, then bravo. Then you win.
I will say this, Rick.
You win this show.
Maybe the most unenthusiastic response to a question I've asked in my 25, 30 years of doing.
Well, he doesn't want to get in trouble. We all know Sharon's like a goddamn mop boss. He says the wrong thing. Fucking, you know, he's going to get a relative's finger in the goddamn mail.
I'm usually so proud of my questions, and that question got just probably go fuck yourself.
Well, probably nothing that anybody wants me to
share.
Share.
Well, that's
Shannon's
not true.
A paralegal, so she can tell you if this is going to get you in trouble. Shannon's on there right now. Not really, sir. I can't tell a lie. I'm like George Washington.
We did have a potato gun backstage, and it was like, you know, it's me and Robert Trujillo. He's playing bass for Ozzy back then, and it's a really powerful potato gun. We were shooting it from the backstage parking lot and hitting this wood fence up on the hill, and it was knocking boards off the fence. Nice. And then, you know, we started shooting it up straight up in the air and taking off running, is putting big dents in cars. And then, you know, the catering people came running out. You motherfuckers, you fucking dent in my car. And then Ozzy came over there, and I was like, man, you should take this on stage and shoot it out into the crowd. I'll fill it full of glitter or something. It'll be cool. It'll just, you know, make this huge explosion. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. And so he took it on stage and shot it and went about 1 inch, and like 4 pieces of glitter came out onto the ground. The potato got lodged in there. I don't know. And he threw it on the ground. He's pretty pissed.
I like that story. I like that story. It's a good story, James.
It's great. When you hang out with Ozzy, here's a question. How many times do you have to say what? Like, I just feel like he'd be tough to understand. All due respect to Ozzy. Like, do you fully understand everything he says? Or do you end up just smiling a lot, going, oh yeah, Ozzy, cool. And then just like, hum a snowblind to yourself?
No, it seems like he talks a lot clearer whenever just in private. I think he gets like nervous.
Wow.
Around people and cameras and stuff. So when you're just backstage sitting down talking, is more clear. And then when more people start showing up, he starts getting flustered, maybe.
That's crazy. So, you know, like, funny. One-on-one, he's like a senator. And then in front of people, he's just fucking whatever.
I only got to interview him twice. And both times it was completely fine. Like, I was very easy to understand. It was kind of wild. All right, Shannon, we got to do the first, and we're going to wrap this up.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
All right, the name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We ask every guest this since the dawn of time, their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and we ask you the first concert you went to, but ideally on your own volition, and ideally something we're going to know, not some weird local band that no one's ever heard of.
And the first concert I went to, I had to have an adult take me. I think I was 14 years old, and it was Exodus opening up for Celtic Frost.
Wow. That's a good one. I like that. I like that. That's a cool one. I have the former singer, not original, but Rob Dukes is coming on soon. He's coming in the studio. Good dude. He has a new band. All right, now, the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
Yeah, no, I've never done any drugs.
Ever, anything.
Wow, look at this guy.
Wow, James, you made fun of me. Now make fun of him. Go ahead.
I also don't do drugs, but you're the goddamn proprietor of this. I just a hired hand every once in a while. You're up there going, drink your milk, take your, you're like Hulk Hogan in 84. Don't do drugs, wear condoms.
You know, I grew up with my grandparents because my real parents were really bad drug addict alcoholics. And I was like, note to self, don't be like this when you grow up.
Hey, if they imparted one lesson on you, that's a good lesson that they imparted on you, whether it was on purpose or by accident. You know, that's good that happened.
So it's like just embedded in my brain. So anytime people are like, hey, man, you want some of this? I just, you know, flashbacks to like, no, I see where that leads.
I used to be a DJ at a club here in New York called The Limelight, and it was Sunday nights.
I played there several times.
For Sunday nights on Rock and Roll Church, I was a DJ and a promoter. And I mean, the DJ booth was at the dais where like everybody would be looking at the DJs, and me and my friend Alan were the DJs every night, multiple times. People would hand me drugs. Dude, thank you so much. Hand me something. I'm like, thank you, man. And then I would just give it to my friend Alan because I don't do drugs. And he would be like, all right, cool. And he would do it, but I would never do it. I just never did drugs. That is what it was. It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not for everybody.
And now the first time you ever had sex.
I don't even remember.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild. That is the first time.
I've never even thought about it.
You never even thought about the first time you had sex? You just moved the fuck on like it was you're playing a ball game?
Yeah.
All right, we won. On to Indianapolis.
Maybe it was like, the experience with watching his parents being ruined by drugs. Like, I just don't want to do that. He had sex the first time. It was so bad. He's like, just not going to think about that. And that's what happened.
Well, maybe Ozzy was there and he was flustered. And then he just put it all on the back of the burner, baby.
I was thinking, by the way, that you should put the potato gun on the back of your guitar and shoot that at people. That would fucking knock people the fuck out.
It'd probably kill them, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be fun. All right, so it's the new single, Ziggurats of Mesopotamia, is on Spotify. You could follow at Scum of the Earth Official on Instagram. Mike, anything else you want to promote before we wrap? Go around and do our plugs?
I think that's it. Just the new song, you know, the tattoo shop. Anybody coming to Branson, you know, swing by.
Yeah, or let's all go hang out at the Stampede. You never know.
We're going, dog.
All right, James, your plugs?
Yo, The James Madden on Instagram and YouTube. The James Madden. And check out the Check Spot. Fucking cool special ever in the history of comedy in black and white. Me on stage while people pay their bills. The worst part of the comedy show. This part of the show that every comedian dreads. The Check Spot. I did a whole album. Special, whatever you want to call it, documentary. It is the dopest thing ever done. Check Spot, check it out. And I'm gonna be opening up for Chrissy D. Go look for Chris Stefano's website. I'll be doing a bunch of theaters with him in the fall, so check that shit out.
That's bam, cool. Baby. Shannon, your plugs.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, comedians, musicians, reality TV stars, and porn stars, and they tell their own stories about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
Okay, now, Riggs, don't give us any indication, but we ask this last question to everybody that comes on the show. Shannon's show is about dating, fighting, and ghosts. We want to know, does the guest believe in ghosts? And all three of us are going to chime in. I am going to say this. He's going to give a non-committal answer of like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Not a significant yes or no. That's my thought. James?
Okay, now get that, because that's my dude's personality. Two things. He's got lyrics about goddamn ancient aliens.
Right, but so he wasn't ready to jump down on them, the existing. That's what I'm saying. But go ahead, James.
Okay. B through Z, Motherfucker lives in the South his whole life. South, there's ghosts. The South, you don't stay in the South if you don't think there's ghosts. Everyone in the South likes hush puppy, sweet tea, and they've seen everyone's great grandparents. So I'm saying yes.
All right, and now, Shannon, what are you saying?
No.
You're saying a flat no, a hard no.
Yeah, I think it's just no.
Is this like a 1-1-1?
Yeah, we are right down the line. So, Riggs, what is the answer?
I don't like sweet pea or hush puppies, but...
What the fuck's going on, Riggs?
And if, no, I don't believe in ghosts. Fuck no.
Oh, fuck me. The one time we get a straight answer out of the dude. Jesus Christ, yeah. Shannon.
You know, I think about this a lot. I've never seen one. I've tried to see them. You know, I've messed around with Ouija boards when I was a kid. I did everything that I could do to try to make some weird shit happen. And
except take drugs, apparently.
Except if maybe I took more drugs, I'd see some ghosts. But
that's some peyote. You're going to see a fuckload of them tonight.
But, you know, I always thought about it when I was a kid. And even now, and I'm like, you know, I've never seen one. There's been, you know, how many people alive on Earth? And then there'd be billions and billions of them everywhere. And, you know, how about animals? You know, would there be animal ghosts? You know, I hear about that every now and again. And there, you wouldn't be able to take a step without seeing one.
Right. And, I guess like why is every Sasquatch picture so grainy? Why is every alien picture so grainy? Like we live in a world where everybody has fucking cameras. Why have we not gotten anything yet? Go ahead, Shannon. You're going to yell at me.
Just two things real quick. First, if we are to play on the side of ghosts being real, then not every single person who dies becomes a ghost necessarily.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that every dead person has to be a ghost. And then wait, what was the other thing?
But about. Nobody even knows how you become a ghost if you were to be one.
Right, you got to go to 4 years of college, and then you have to go to graduate school. And if you go to the Ivy League ghost schools for post whatever, you could become a doctor. And that's like the afterlife
it's like,
ghost.
It was like
sorry,
people
Shannon.
Who were killed, like, you know, wrongly killed, you know, who was rightly killed. I don't know. It just all seems kind of.
It's like an NFL draft. The teams, they go, the ghosts get a pick, the vampires get a pick, everyone gets a pick. Shannon wants to kill me now. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to filibust and have fun, Shannon. Go on.
So the other thing that you said, Ralph, about there being evidence, there are billions of videos online. And these days, though, what picture would you need to see or video that would prove it to you that you would believe?
Right. That's true. Because also in the world of deep fakes and shit like that, I don't know if I'd believe anything that I saw. Right. So that's true, too. Good answer, Shannon. I like your answers.
It's like I do a podcast about it.
Yeah, and then also we could say this, like with aliens, if they're so powerful that they can get here, maybe they have the technology that they just don't show up on camera too well. That's possible too.
Thanks.
Maybe they're interdimensional.
Shannon, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. All right.
I like that you two are the opposite of X-Files. I like that she's Mulder and you're Scully and she's slowly getting you correct. This is great. Let's reboot the X-Files.
All right. Well,
Riggs, you and I are going to be the smoking man and that other guy.
In a rare 1-2 win, Shannon gets it on this one. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton, my other podcast on health and wellness. So I'm not doing a good advocation for health and wellness today is called the Good Sugar Podcast. We are in the top fucking 100 in health and wellness right now. This show in the top 100 of comedy right now. Thank you so much to everybody that's supporting these shows. We add a song every week to the playlist. We'll add the oddest named song we've ever added to the playlist. The Ziggurats of Mesopotamia will be added to the playlist and we'll play it right now. Riggs, thank you so much for taking time out for the SDR show.
Yeah. mask on.
Listening to the SDR Show.